Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
As if you're putting on a ring of engagement to
savior of the universe, the head of the body, which is Jesus Christ. Now, God loves us, and he loves the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that who will believe in him will be saved. But the belief that is covered in the Bible is different from what modern-day Christianity thinks it is. If I believe that I'm your parent, I will take care of you. Now, there are certain parents out there who believe, which they are truly the parent because they're biological, they believe they're the parent. But the way most society will look at it is, if you're not taking care of your child, yeah, you're the biological parent, but you are not the true parent. Whoever's taking care of that child is the true parent. But you can never take away that the biological parent is the parent. Now, we as Christians belong to Christ. We are married to Christ. We are his people. We are his bride. And we must prepare ourselves for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Now, what we're going to be talking about is discipleship, evangelism, but most of the time we're going to be talking about Bible prophecy. And Bible prophecy is the most important thing that the ministry is going to be talking about in relevance to what's going on. But the most important thing we're going to be talking about, believe it or not, we're going to spend time on it, is discipleship and evangelism. Because discipleship is the life of a Christian. The Lord is taking you through a lesson of life according to his word. The Lord is molding and shaping you and working out what he wants inside of you to be accomplished on this earth. Evangelism is when you understand what Jesus Christ did for you, and the process of discipleship will bring out evangelism. Now, we do not work our way to salvation, but we love God enough during the discipleship. We love God enough during the relationship. Now, as the discipleship goes on, the main course is the relationship of Jesus. Now, the Bible talks about when Abraham first started talking to God, God introduced himself as Abraham's great reward. And salvation is just that, your great reward. Now, the peace of God is only to those who diligently seek him. And I'll say it again. The peace of God only belongs to those who diligently seek him. Now, the people who go after money and think God is a sugar daddy probably don't have perfect peace. They don't have the peace that Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." They don't have that peace. So that's why he says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." They don't have the peace of God because they don't have the relationship with God. They don't diligently seek God. But the discipleship, now let me explain what discipleship, I guess I should explain what discipleship means. Discipleship means that we are being prepared for his, on this earth to do his work. But we're mostly being prepared to be his, to live here on this earth and to be used as instruments for God's glory. And we also discipleship taught in his word to live the proper life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says that we should not be fashioned towards this world, but we should be changed. We should be living a new life, the new life that is in Christ Jesus. And that's why, even if it was added, it says in Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that was added in there, but boy, does it fit. Now, what we're going to be talking about is these things, but it's going to be mostly guests that are talking and communicating that to you. And we are going to be talking about that probably discipleship about 10% of the time, evangelism about another 10%, and I'm pretty sure we can fill in the other gaps. But prophecy would be our main focus. And what we're going to be talking about is very, and prophecy also will cover the church and how the church is being played out in these last days, because there is a lot of false doctrines out there and false prophets who are lingering around, but there's also false attitudes that believe that they can, even if they attend church and listen to the pastor, that they can mold and shape their God into the image that they want their God to be shaped into. So, for instance, if somebody wants their God to be a nice, caring, loving God who will not send anybody to hell, that's what you are. I've created my own God. How would you like to create your own God? What kind of God is that when you can't even get your butt out of bill? And I'm talking stepping on my feet. You can't even get your bills paid on time. Oh, what a God. You're not your own God, but you can read his word. We can read his word. We can stay out of about financial difficulty. God is not a respected person. Your God that you create is a respected person. He loves all. Kumbaya. That's what he says. Kumbaya. I love everybody. Kumbaya. That's what your God does. Your God will be the Watson. See, the true God is a God who does not take no junk. He don't take no crap. But he loves the world. He loves the world. He loves the world so much that he gave his son. Okay? He loves the world that he gave his son. And whoever believes in him will be saved. But the word believe is more than just what the world paints believe to be. Okay, I can believe it's going to rain tomorrow, but it might just rain. But I cannot do nothing about it might rain. But if I believe that I can graduate from college and don't put any effort into it, that means I truly don't believe. But if I believe that I can graduate, then that actually means I believe I can graduate. So test me by my actions. If I believe that I'm a safe individual Christian, I should walk the walk, talk the talk, and do as God says. But I will fall and get up, bring myself off, and sincerely with a pure heart, continue after God. And we will fall and get back up, continue with a pure heart, and do what God tells us to do. Continuously, we're going to fall. We're human. So, God wished that no man should perish, but come to everlasting life, to come to eternal life, to know that God saved us from our sins and has given us eternal life. Now, hell is real. Hell is a real place. Matter of fact, I'm going to do a show on hell. And they have some openings around the world, like volcano holes and openings that people are thinking that are gateways to hell. And we're going to be doing a show on that a little bit later. Hell is real, folks. And if you really think about it, people are living life as if hell does not exist. And the Christian faith, that good old religion, that Hollywood has created to be that old-fashioned religion, we don't need it no more. People have tried Christianity and think it does not work, but what they fail to realize is that it didn't work because not that you didn't try, it's the fact that you did not press in and you did not, you lacked knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You lacked instruction. That means you did not read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to give you instruction on what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. But the Christianity is not a religion of do's and don'ts, but it's a relationship where God will point out to you that if you love this present world, you're not going to want to sit down and be still and slow down. You love this world. Even God can't do anything for you. God can't do a thing for you if you love this world. Because there's a lot of us Christians who watch American Idol. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with American Idol because some of them guys can't sing and some of them can sing. So it's not like we're watching it to search for our own idol. But the thing with the name of American Idol is kind of funny itself, because Americans are looking for their next idol. See, our God is whatever we want it to be. So if we draw up a God that we might like, it becomes an idol. And then when people try to figure out if Jesus is black or if Jesus is this or that, or how did he look? Did he have short hair, long hair? And when we try to imagine this God as we pray, that becomes adultery. So Jesus is, we don't know what he looks like. So to imagine a Jesus that you've never seen before is adultery, because even if he's not, now some people think God the Father is some big Santa Claus, with a beard, and you know he's kind of favorite Santa Claus instead of with the red on, he wears like white and gold, and oh look, you know, he looks like. But the Bible calls him invisible. He is an invisible God. But Jesus came on earth in the image of the invisible God. So when we think of God, we have to think about his ultimate awesomeness, because he is an awesome God. He is a God that you cannot fathom. It will take an eternity to learn about this God. Jesus is the image of that God. He came to earth, very man, very God. So, I mean, he was ultimately man and ultimately God. And I just heard a cartoon blaspheming God, a Family Guy. And they draw up their little image, oh, Jesus, this is Jesus, okay, the writers of Family Guy are going to be in trouble unless they repent. But let's go back to hell for a second. We're going to do a series on hell, and hell, my goodness. I mean, even the Christians who are hardcore cannot wrap their minds around hell. But they ask, how can a loving God, my God would not send anybody to hell. How can a loving God send somebody to hell? My God would have the problem with your God. As long as he stays your God, you're headed to hell. That God that you're imagining. my God. That is a song that my God is an awesome God. And now, when you sing my God is an awesome God and you're singing the God of the Bible is an awesome God, that's great. That's an awesome thing. But when you're creating your own God at your own expense, because he's made in your likeness, you can interpret God. Most of the time, you can interpret a real Christian by when they say, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. My Bible says that we are made in the image of God. My Bible says that there is one God, one mediator between God and man, as Jesus Christ. My Bible says that it's appointed for a man to die once and then to judgment. My word says that his word is a lamp to my feet. That means I will not travel in darkness, I can see. So then I won't create my own God if I can see what he's trying to tell me that I should be seeing. I want to see what God wants me to see. By his word, we would know this. We would know God by his word. We would know, that's the only way we can know it. And see, I've got a simple mind. I think simple, and nobody seems to pick it up. I think that if I come home after buying a color TV and I open up the color TV box and there's no instruction book in there, I'm going to be really ticked off. Everything you buy has some type of instruction book with it. So mankind has got this from God. They adopted this from God that you need to send home with a new car, with a new truck, with a new toy, with a new cable. Even a cable box comes with instructions. Now, the human body might not have instructions, but there's tons of books on the human body. There's tons of studies on the human body. There's tons of manuals and pamphlets that you can get on the human body. Matter of fact, the internet is swarming with instruction on proper etiquette, proper eating habits. But see, we tend to think that God is so dumb that he would not send some type of instruction book down here. And even now, if you read the instruction book of all the religions, Christianity is the only one to identify man's true need for a savior. It's the only one that looks dead in the mirror and says, this is who I am as a man, and this is what's happened, and this is the reason why I'm dying as soon as I'm born. Because even if we're growing up, when we come out of our mama's womb, we start to grow up, but we're also dying simultaneously. It's a weird concept. And then sort of we stop growing up, we start to go out or downward because we slump as we get older, and then we die. Because it's appointed for men to die once and then the judgment. But see, we have to understand that manual book could possibly be for the devil's advocate for all the other religions, who has this person who died on the cross. He's the only religion that has the main character in that religion sacrificing his life for us. To me, now I'm making my own personal opinion, but to me, it's the only one that seems to fit. The Bible even says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That means we have an enemy in high places called Satan, Lucifer, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, I think. So we have an enemy called the devil, the same one that took Adam and Eve and tempted Eve It's the same one who tempted Jesus, tried to take Jesus up on the mountain. Well, Jesus was led by the Spirit up on the mountain to be tempted of the devil. So God the Father knew that he was going to be tempted, and he knew his son was going to prevail. That same enemy. Now, this enemy was said in this manual to be against mankind. So I got 4 minutes left. So this is the only manual that actually surfaces an enemy. But here's the neatest thing of all. This is the only person, Jesus Christ, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is loved, feared, and hated. And Abraham was pointing to Jesus. Abraham wasn't pointing to anybody else but Jesus. He wasn't pointing to Muhammad. Muhammad is not spoken of in the Bible. Neither is Jesus mentioned in the Quran. Actually, he is mentioned as a prophet, I guess a prophet. But Jerusalem's not mentioned in the Quran. I know that for a fact. But here's the deal. Here, I got off track of what I wanted to actually talk about, is that we are going to be going live stream. So we're going to have a live stream on our page so you can watch my ugly face. We try to get on YouTube. That's the only reason why we're doing the live stream, so we can have our show on YouTube. And we're also going to have just the regular program. So we're going to be going an hour and a half on YouTube, which will be fun by itself. So God is shaping and molding our ministry. And we're looking, like I said, we're looking for more hosts, mostly outside of Blog Talk Radio. We're also looking for hosts inside. You don't have to be a superman or superwoman. You just got to love Jesus. No strings attached. You have to be in love with the true gospel. And you have to acknowledge that there is a false gospel. Because if you don't know the false gospel, then you probably got some more stuff I need to find out about you. Because when a person can acknowledge, hey, yeah, there is a false gospel out there, and he can actually verbatim tell me what the false gospel is, pretty soon he's going to tell me what the real gospel is. And the real gospel is not hard. It's not complicated. It's not, I need to get, Jesus is going to bless me with a new Rolls Royce. No, Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. And it's funny, well, Jesus, they look at you, in the faith movement, especially as being poor or being middle class, as a hindrance to or a sign of godliness also. Okay, so me having some money is a sign that I'm blessed by God. Not necessarily true. But when God said to Abraham, I am your reward. I am your reward. He didn't say any money, and Abraham was blessed. But his exceeding reward was to love God, to hold on to God, because God will produce perfect peace to those who diligently seek him. He's going to give us peace. So I'd rather be seeking that peace of God than to be seeking what he can give me. And I have an old adage before I go off. Ask not what God can do for you, but ask what you can do for God. Because everybody's trying to get God to do something for them. Oh, give me that money. I need that job. I mean, eventually he just told you, I know the hair on your head. I know what fur lamp is. God bless you. I know what you need. Oh, you didn't know? I know what you need. I sit outside of time. That's what God says. I literally sit outside of time. I know the beginning and the end. I know the parade. I am sitting at the top of the building. You guys sitting in the front, the middle, or the last part. We're at the last part of the parade. But see, God sees all. He really does. He loves you out there. And if you're not born again, God wants to come into your heart and come into your life and be the Lord of your life, and obedience will future to heaven. And that was not the best outward. You probably never heard it like that, but that's exactly what he wants to be. But God loves you guys out there, and stay tuned for the next show, Prophecy Zone, tomorrow, probably about 8 o'clock. God bless y'all, and have a wonderful day. God bless. Y'all have a wonderful night.